devastated, devastated. It happened for years. And then finally, people started, I started telling this to people who were in the world of nonviolent communication, and they started responding to me with like, oh gosh, of course that was hard. Where before, everybody that I'd talked to about it had said, oh, just don't listen to her. You know, lots of advice, right?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to another Autoimmune Hour. I am so excited. I have a treat for you. I know you guys, I get so many requests for this guest that when I found out she has a new book coming out and it's being published this month, I know I like my shows to be evergreen because she has a new book coming out published in December right now. So I'm so excited. I think it's right now, it's Friday, December 3rd, and it's probably still pre-order, but I know it's going to be live like within a week or so. So get over to Amazon and pre-order it. And you don't even know what you're doing, but get over there now. Okay. Maybe you can hear from her laughter. You'll know that Sarah Payton, she's joining us again. Oh. And I just love exploring the world with Sarah.
And I love seeing the world with you, Sharon.
Oh my gosh. And congratulations, Sarah, on the book. Oh my goodness.
Here it is, Affirmations for Turbulent Times.
Oh, and that is so exciting. And I know it's sort of an extension of your first book, Your Resonant Self. It's an extension of that.
Yeah, and
can I use the word how to?
Yes. Moving into a new technology. Because one of the things that happened was that Norton asked me to write a book of affirmations. And I was like, affirmations? I haven't been in the company of affirmations since the 1980s when Melody Beattie wrote a beautiful affirmations book and I would use it every day. And I thought, boy, that book really changed my life. And I'm so excited to be able to write a book that would be an accompaniment for people for the daily little problems and painful things that happen, especially in our world today where so many things happen to people.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, I am so excited and thrilled because I know that I take away what I call my own little affirmations from our times, previous times together. So many come to mind. Am I safe and do I matter? Is those important primary questions? I can rattle off a half a dozen of those, Sarah.
Wow. I'm so excited, Sharon, that they have stayed with you. And hopefully since the way you're talking about them, that they have supported you.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell people about them all the time and they are so in awe when they say, wow. And I say, well, yeah, well, that's not my brilliance. That's my my friend Sarah's brilliance.
Yay.
but we're all in awe of it. And the one that I still think about all the time and I mentioned to people, and it's even as this isn't really an affirmation, Sarah. And we'll get into what is an affirmation in a minute, but I want to bring this up to my community here. It's like that thought of, are you angry at or are you angry that?
So
I think we should just do Sarah quotes, Sarahism.
Oh, wonderful.
Sarah Paytonism.
What fun. Well, the thing about affirmations are that they're words that we say good things about us. And when I was given this tantalizing exploration by Norton, I was like, well, how the heck do we acknowledge all the things that need to be acknowledged? And then so that our bodies can get to the place of just really saying something good about us. So like if I were to say something that has a very good quality about me or my capacities or my strengths. I am a responsive, flexible being, and I am enough for whatever comes. So there's a wonderful affirmation that we can carry with us. But the problem is that we can't carry it with us if we're running into a block against it. Like if I say, I am a responsive and flexible being, and I am ready for whatever comes, then there might be doubt. And then if I have doubt, then the affirmation doesn't work the same way. Because if we have this sense of inauthenticity, then it actually impacts our immune system in a negative way. So we want to feel fully authentic and empowered when we say whatever our favorite affirmation might be.
Wow. If that answers so many questions in my mind about affirmations. I remember several books I've read over the years, or journals that had affirmations at the top, you know, and you're supposed to write about the affirmation. And yet some little part of me was like, yeah, right. You know, so if we have that little critter on our shoulder going, yeah, right, what is the suggestion you have?
Well, the suggestion that I have is what I've done in the book. I've created one side of the book. When you turn the page, one side is wonderings. Like, do you need acknowledgement? Like, if you're going to say, I am a responsive and flexible being and I am ready for anything, then what kinds of objections do you have? Like, what are the messages that you've had? Like, my mother told me that I was rigid and non-responsive. So how do I get from what I used to believe in relationship with my mother, what she told me so often, to this place of embracing my own flexibility and capacity? What if I say, Sarah, do you need some acknowledgement that you've been told that you were rigid and non-responsive? Do you need some acknowledgement that people gave you messages about things about yourself that weren't really true, but were really about their fears and their anxieties? Do you need some acknowledgement that your mama was really anxious about whether or not you would have momentum and movement in the world? And then after I do those acknowledgements, what if I come over here and I say, and I am a responsive and flexible being who is ready for anything? Even just that little bit of acknowledgement changed the way my body, changed my buy-in, changes what my body feels might be able to be true about me when I acknowledge that messages that I received were not necessarily true messages that were based on people's anxieties and fears.
So wow.
Yeah. Let's do one for you. Would you like to?
Sure.
Okay. What's a good thing that you'd like to claim for yourself that you sometimes have some resistance against, that you have that little one sitting on your shoulder going, yeah, but, or.
Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness. On the spot, I have to think of one. One that comes up for me is that oftentimes that I've done it good enough.
Oh.
You know that idea of, I like to say I'm a recovering perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And I know where that comes from. That mm-hmm. comes from my family about doing everything perfectly. And yet I still bump into it, even though I have this conscious awareness.
So then let's make up something juicy. What I do is good enough, and maybe something about good enough. And good enough is perfect in its own way.
Yeah. See, it's interesting. How about if we drop good enough, because enough, and just say, what I do is perfect in its own way.
What I do is perfect in its own way. So now we're going to give you the wondering. We're going to do a little bit of acknowledgement for you. Would you like some acknowledgement that people have created an idea of perfection that's beyond human? That you have had standards to set for you that could not have been met by anyone who was in a human body? Would you like some acknowledgement that you've lived in a world where you were being compared to something divine or inhuman? And that there's been a long-term sadness or feeling of insufficiency that you've lived with for a long time because of these standards.
Wow, yes.
Yeah.
Now, if you're watching the video, guys, you probably noticed there was an unconscious nodding going on that I just noticed when Sarah closed those wonderings.
Yeah. And so now say it again. Now say, what I do is perfect in its own way.
What I do is perfect in its own way. Yeah. What I do is perfect in its own way.
Does your body give you any more access to it the second time? It seems like it from outside, but I can't tell.
It did, but what it, I felt my chest expand. Mm-hmm. Like I could breathe better. I could breathe deeper, but it was also, I want to say like a heart opening or something. Mm-hmm. There was an expansion beyond the lungs that happened there. It was just this great big opening, which was really nice.
Oh,
very nice.
Oh, I'm excited.
The second time I said it, more excited to say it.
Mm.
Now, see, those are so much more profound, Sarah, than the affirmations I remember, you know, from decades ago. You know, I liked them, but this one really, there's a few little hairs standing up on my neck around it. Mm. So something through my neurobiology is happening.
Oh, that's very exciting. And then you and I, with this little guy on our shoulder, who's always like a little bit doubtful and skeptical when he calms down, then we start to be able to reap the abundant research proven benefits of affirmations, where they improve our health, they improve our performance, they improve our mood, they give us access to more energy. So it's kind of a fun, that's kind of a fun exploration.
Oh, wow. It's more than kind of, it's really fun. I'm going to jump on the whole fun boat here. Yes. Oh my goodness. So let's talk a little bit more about the science behind it though, because we could say that and people, you know, I'm like, oh, Sharon, but I'm actually feeling more giddy than I was, if that's possible, when I introduced Sarah. So actually, I didn't even introduce her yet. For some of you who aren't familiar, we'll get to her introduction soon, but I want to keep playing here. Let's talk a little bit about the science, more about why it works.
I don't know that the research that I found exactly showed exactly why it works. So I'll speculate about why it works based on a little bit of an understanding of relational neuroscience. We are, most research shows that we are most securely attached when we know how we feel, when we're able to talk about our feelings and be able to kind of locate ourselves contextually in time and space. And when we have a settled good feeling about ourselves. And so the movement into an authentic expression of affirmations is a bit of a way to claim that solid ground for ourselves. Affirmations are an antidote to the continual negative messages that we are bombarded with, both from the outer world and, as you and I have so often discussed, from the default mode network, the brain's automatic voice. So we take in, this is a very interesting piece that we've talked about before, I think, but we have a mother and a father, and we take in the way that they are about us. So if they're critical towards us, we take that in. But what's so surprising is that even if they're not critical towards us, but they're critical towards themselves, we take that on. So I could have had a lovely mother who was very, very supportive of us and always said good things about us. But since she believed negative things about herself, we reproduce her brain. It happens most intensely between mother and daughter, that brain reproduction happens. We're like a bit of a Xerox copy of our mom's brain. So,
oh, that's scary. Sorry. Let me get a drink of water on that one.
It just means we need to do mother upgrades. we get to have mom 2.0 inside of us instead of mom 1.0. Okay. We get to take all the good things about her and start to straighten them out and get them in order. And part of the way we can do this is by working with the affirmations. And if we know that we have an affirmation that we really want for ourselves, like today, the affirmation I would really want for myself would probably be about, it would be a combination of getting things done that need to be done and communicating when I can't get things done and being kind to myself when I can't get things done. So it would be, I am graceful in responding to my to-do list. I am graceful and effective in responding to my to-do list. And when I'm not able to do the things that are on my to-do list, I let people know, and I am gentle with myself. So that was kind of simple and straightforward. So then we say, okay, what are my objections? So one of my objections is I want to beat Sarah up because she's not getting the things done. I don't know when I think she should do them exactly, since she's been scheduled from morning to night, but she should be like superhuman in this area. So then we go to the acknowledgement, the wondering, and we say, Sarah, I wonder if you need some acknowledgement that the to-do list was the most important thing, that all of the messages that you got from your mom and your dad was that the to-do list trumped everything else, that the to-do list was more important than health, that it was more important than rest, that it was more important than connection, that it was more important than kind of a human kindness and mercy, that it was the most important thing. And let's see, what else? And that your mother and father were not kind to themselves in relationship to the to-do list, that they both had a relentless drive. Okay, so I've acknowledged that. So now I'm going to come over here and I'm going to test again. I am graceful and effective in getting things done, and I communicate with others when I can't, and I'm gentle with myself. So now there's less objection. There's less desire to beat up Sarah for not getting things done. I don't know if it sounds different on the outside, but it feels different on the inside.
And I want to acknowledge, for those just listening and not having the video, is to understand Sarah is actually moving to a different location, not extremely, but what, about a foot away from where you were one way, and then you step into another location, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
For changing.
Yeah, for checking.
Yeah.
Yeah, to check and see, okay, what's my objection? And so check.
Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful. Now, we need to take, it's a little soon, but I want to make sure we have plenty of time. Seems like a natural break. So we'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'll give Sarah, I'll let you know her real bio here, because I jumped in right with like, I got to talk to Sarah. So we'll see you in a minute. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, from that quick commercial break. Oh my gosh, I'm having so much fun. I just always love playing with Sarah. To me, it's playing with her because she is so immersed and so exquisite about the science of neurobiology. So let me give you a little bit of her background. She's a certified trainer in nonviolent communication. I'm sure you've heard how elegant her voice is to herself and to us. It's just, mesmerizing. And that's part of her nonviolent communication background. She's also a constellation facilitator and a neuroscience educator. And I love to say she's the one that brings neuroscience down to where I can understand it. You know, I'm a big fan of some of the other big names in neuroscience, and I love them. But sometimes I call Sarah up and I say, well, you know, that sounded interesting, but can you tell me in real English how what it means? So that's what Sarah does, because she integrates brain science with the use of resonant language to heal trauma and nourish self-warmth, and with, I love this, exquisite gentleness. She just is so exquisite in the way she talks to us and she talks to herself. And to me, that's some of the biggest trainings I've had with her, is understanding how we talk to ourselves, what our default mode is.
Yeah.
And to catch, I sometimes have to catch myself. I don't know if that's the way we learn. I think so. Kind of like, oops, cancel Claire.
Oh, that was not a nice thing to say to myself. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was not a nice sort of felt sense about myself. Now that you and I have done so much with our verbal voices, now we get to start working with our felt sense of self. Like, is our felt sense of self a shamed self? It's like, doesn't even need any words to be a shamed self. Or is our felt sense of self in relation to self like a disgust with the self? We don't even need any words to have a disgust with ourselves. Or is our felt, sometimes it can be as strong as a loathing. We can loathe ourselves. And that can be completely nonverbal. So as we begin to work through the verbal things that we can catch, now we get to begin to pay attention to almost like, how does it feel to be us? And is there any negative impact on us of tuning into our own felt sense of self? One of the things that happens to me every year, it's so interesting, I've even put it in my calendar, is from the day before my birthday to the day after my parents' wedding anniversary, which stretches from the day before Halloween, from October 30th to November 13th, which is, thank goodness, is the end of a period of time that I put in my calendar as a shame spiral, an annual shame spiral. And I look at that in my calendar and I think, don't even think about your book until the 13th or the 14th, Sarah, because it's just going to be shame. Because I got it and I was opening and I was like, oh, this is terrible. Why did I make that decision? I should have done it completely differently. And I was like, this is not the right day to be thinking about this. So as we start to notice these kind of shifts, almost tectonic movements in the way we feel about ourselves, then our work sort of deepens even into the nonverbal experience of what it's like to be us.
Wow. this is brand new for me in some respects. I want to back up to a mutual friend of ours and see how this relates, okay? You and I share a friend, Michael Grinder, and he talks about seasons and that people go through seasons, not just decades, but actual seasons within the seasons.
Yeah.
And he also talks about how couples and families and et cetera go through different seasons shorter than what I would say, like, you know, your 30s or your 40s type of or your label Gen X or Gen Y or whatever. So you can share generically if you want, but how did you discover that this particular season was like, I need to give myself more space and grace during this particular time?
I discovered this because I have a very good friend who's been my friend since I was 18 years old and I'm 59. So is that like four? That's 40 years almost. I think it's 40 years. It is. It's 40 years. And at about year 25, she was like, I think this is an annual pattern.
What an awesome friend.
I know. She's like, let's put it in your calendar and check. And so I was like, okay, I think it's right around my birthday. So I put it in there. But it was before then that I was being feeling shame. And it was like after then that I was feeling shame. So we widened it. And now we have it fairly specific. It's fairly specific now. And some years it's lighter than others. And some years it's very heavy. So it's definitely something I get to, you know, bring all my tools of gentleness to work with for myself, because here we are, we're just human in these human bodies that have seasons, as Michael says. So how do we be kind to ourselves no matter what season is happening within us?
Wow, that's cool. Now, if I know this would probably be speculation, but if you don't have one of those 40-year relationships with a friend, would something like journaling help in your book, where you could like write down, I'm feeling this, and then maybe in a year from now you could go back and reflect on what that day was?
Or you could put on your Google Calendar. Other people may not use a Google Calendar as intensively as I do, but you can do an annual reminder. You can go very bad day 2021, and then you can see the next year. You can say, oh, last year was a very bad day. I wonder what will be like this year.
I think for me and my memory, I'd have to put more than just that, like maybe a little code word or a keyword. Spark. Oh, yes. Okay. That's it. I'm older than
Shame
you and
day.
I. Maybe. Maybe. Although maybe I'll put it, some sort of code. But anyway, I think it's an interesting idea to be able to put in there just to give you fair warning day. I mean,
yeah. And then to know, don't look at your book on that week.
Yeah.
Don't think you have any capacity to judge yourself accurately during that particular time.
No. Wow. Now, as you became more and more aware of this pattern, are there things that you do to sort of help you over the hump?
Well, one of the things that we can do is we can play with the affirmations to help us with these sorts of things. So an affirmation for the shamed self might be, I am beloved, and there's no reason for me to feel shame about myself. I am beloved, and there's no earthly reason for me to have shame about myself. And then we get to do our acknowledgement. Like the little one on my shoulder saying, who loves you? You're not beloved. And, and the little one on my shoulder saying, of course you should be ashamed of yourself. So obviously I've got an objection to my affirmation. So I need to, you know, I need to take my step over into the objection area. I've just moved to my right foot. And now I say, Sarah, do you need acknowledgement that if today what it feels like is that my mom was angry often, that she was often angry, and that she often told me that she was angry because of me and because I wasn't doing things the way that she wanted me to do them? And so then I say, okay, do I need acknowledgement that my mother was often angry and that I felt shame in response to her? I do need that acknowledgement. That is a true thing. Yes, it's true. And so then, let's see, my little guy was saying, you're not beloved.
Yeah, I think that guy needs a little talking too.
Let's step over and see what we can say about not being beloved. And then we can say, Sarah, did you believe that you weren't beloved because your mama was so angry? And, you know, I mean, there's so many elements to my mother's experience. She had a lot of trauma. She was a lovely, lovely woman, very much a feminist, really committed to social change, quite an amazing woman. But and now I have a sense that I'm beloved by her. Now that she's no longer alive, I do have that sense. So just acknowledging that the little one that I was didn't receive that particular message from her. And so coming back to hear, I am beloved, and there's not so much objection to it now. And there's no earthly reason for me to be ashamed. And then I wonder, is there an unearthly reason? Is God angry at me? Why did I choose those words? So there's something also about like original sin, like that I'm being good. Like, do you need acknowledgement, Sarah, that there's a part of you that believes that you're good if you believe that you're shameful? And then we go, okay, I'm beloved, and there's no earthly reason for me to feel shame. And now I feel more connected to something greater than self, just with that acknowledgement. So this is the kind of thing we can do, even when we have very heavy days of non-specific kind of upset that doesn't even have any words in our default mode network.
Oh, I love that you brought that up. I want to bookmark that for just a second, because I want to circle back and ask a question about family members. Now, I've talked about my own family and about other friends' families that I've mentioned this to. My siblings and other members of the families, you know, extended family and stuff. If you sat down and asked us each to describe our family, it would be like we grew up in a completely different family. Not one of us would have the same descriptors of our family. Right. So I'm curious that perhaps I might say something, use the word either embarrassment or shame or some of the other words you use, that maybe another family member wouldn't see it that way, but that it's our interpretation of it, of what we experience, not some word that some other person puts on us, right?
Right, right. Well, I mean, sometimes people do say things to us that are not very kind. And then
we
end up believing them just because we love that person and we trust them. And now they're saying, you know, things that aren't kind to us. So yeah, am I understanding your question?
Right. That's what I was curious about, was this idea of how much of it is our own, maybe they didn't quite say it in the way we heard it. How much of it is that?
Yeah.
Or I have a family member, which is an interesting quote, because to me, there's a lot of truth in it, but I always hear it negatively when somebody said, I did the best I could. To me, there were times in my childhood where I heard that from various family members, and I'm the little obnoxious child sort of stomps her foot even to this day and goes, no, you didn't. You know, so I'm sort of playing with this idea of how much is from my interpretation as a child of what was said and what was meant.
Yeah, this is such a cool question, because people will say all kinds of things to us that they don't really mean, not certainly the way we're taking them, even when they're horrific verbal abuse. If you actually drill down into, you and I have talked about my mother doing this before, but it's such a good story. We'll touch it again, that my mom used to tell me I was fat, and I would be devastated, devastated, devastated. It happened for years. And then finally I started telling this to people who were in the world of nonviolent communication, and they started responding to me with like, oh gosh, of course that was hard. Where before, everybody that I'd talked to about it had said, oh, just don't listen to her. You know, lots of advice, right?
Right.
So then I got accompaniment instead of advice. And after some years of accompaniment, my mother said, "You're fat." And I said to her, "Mom, when you look at me, are you really worried that people aren't going to love me?" And she said, "Yes." So absolutely, we absolutely do not hear, often because the expression is so tragic, right?
Right.
We do not hear what the love within the message.
So, well, sometimes it's well hidden.
Very well hidden.
Now, I just, for the audience, I want to help define, just quickly define the difference between advice and accompaniment. I think your story adequately did it, but I just want to give a little bit of a definition to what is accompaniment and how would that feel to us?
Sure. So accompaniment is a long-term experience of resonance where people actually are looking to understand our emotional impact on us of what has happened. So they say things like, "Oh, of course that would be hard. I mean, she's your mother. You love your mother and you want to know your mother loves you." That's like both, like, of course that would be hard. And then there's like this larger understanding of context. And this is accompaniment. When we hear somebody else's feelings and their feelings make sense to us, instead of, you know, "Here's my beloved and traumatized mom," I would say to her, "I'm sad." And she would say, "You're not sad."
I think a lot of us have that experience, maybe not from our mom, but
yeah,
definitely been negated like that.
Exactly. You're not angry, you know, it's very painful. So here we are having this experience of people naysaying us or people telling us, "Oh, just think about it differently," or "I'm sure she means well," or, and it turns out she did mean well, but how the heck could you get there from there, you know? or "Your mom lived in traumatized times and she's just speaks in a traumatized way," you know, I mean, all that stuff about rehearing and rethinking, it doesn't land in us. The advice, any advice we get, which is somebody telling us how to feel or telling us how to think about something differently or telling us that we need a therapist or telling all of those kinds of advice pieces don't change anything in the brain and in fact give us more stress. There's this wonderful research that shows that advice makes people more stressed instead of less stressed. I mean, many of us become so allergic to advice that we kind of track who are the worst advice givers and we try never to speak about anything important to those people so that we don't ever have to hear their advice again. And then if we slip and say something and they give us advice, we're like, "Oh my God, why did I slip? I should have remembered that George loves to give advice and I told myself I would never share any emotions with George again. And here I went and oh my God." And so that's something that happens really commonly. So advice is a very different thing than resonance and accompaniment. And resonance and accompaniment, again, instead of telling somebody what to think or how to think or how to think differently or how they can feel better, accompaniment is like, "Well, gosh, that makes total sense that you feel that way."
And we need to take our last quick commercial break, but I want to ask this question and we're going to ponder this, Sarah says, so is an affirmation like we're accompanying ourselves? And so I'm going to leave it right there. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I am just having so much fun. I love those times when I find Sarah and she's able to play. Anyway, we've been playing tonight and I'm just so excited. And let me introduce her again, just because I know I keep assuming you guys all know, because she is such a popular guest. Anyway, her name's Sarah Payton. She's a certified trainer of nonviolent communication, a constellation facilitator, a neuroscience educator, and an amazing author. Her first book was called Your Resonant Self, not resident. Okay. It's resonant. It's a way that we speak to ourselves, as you've been hearing. It's a loving, gentle way we speak to ourselves. Guided meditations and exercises to engage your brain's capacity for healing. And her latest book, I know it's at least pre-order, if not out now. Give me the title again, Affirmations for
Turbulent Times.
For Turbulent Times. And oh my goodness, talk about turbulent times. But I teased everybody with that question about our affirmations. Are we accompanying ourselves?
And affirmations are powerful medicine that is not self-accompaniment until we do our wonderings.
Okay.
So until we talk to the little ones on our shoulder with resonance and they calm down, then the affirmation becomes a particularly powerful medicine for us, and a powerful word medicine. And let's check and see now. I am a responsive and flexible being, and I am open and ready for whatever comes. I think it's still medicine. It doesn't quite feel like accompaniment. It's more like a reminder of the essential nature of my soul.
Oh, okay. Wow. So the word salve came up to me. I don't know why, but anyways, so a deeper transformation happens than accompaniment. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Although that doesn't let me off the hook for not accompanying my friends when they're, when they're needing it. Right. That's still, I love the idea of accompaniment and how soothing it is for people. They're able to, you can just, when you, I like to say, when I sit with someone and just in silence sometimes, and other times with some accompaniment language, but other times it's just in silence. You'll just see there physically, they'll start to breathe calmer and deeper, and their face will just begin to relax. And I just, oh my goodness, it's just such a delightful thing. We'll have to have you back to talk deeper into how to walk with someone, because tonight we're talking about walking with ourselves, right?
Yes, it's true. Yeah. I'd like to circle back around to something that you said earlier. You were talking about your little self, hearing people say, I did the best I could.
Yes. And that is a trigger for me. Even to this day, I stomp my foot and go, no, you didn't.
So I want to talk to the little one who's stomping her foot. And I want to say, you know, do you need some acknowledgement that you're really angry about the chasm between what would be possible and what people end up doing?
Yeah, she shouted yes. I stomped her foot again. Goodness sake, she's a stomper.
Yeah. Is there a fury in you that you would just love to have people show up completely and with full commitment?
You know, it's interesting. That's not it.
Oh.
Wow. You know, what it is an acknowledgement that we're all fallible, and it's all okay. It's that's interesting when you brought that up. I'm sorry for the long silence there, community, but I had to think this through, because when Sarah asked me, I was like, no, that's not it. It's more profound. It's more like, no, I want acknowledgement that we're all fallible and that's still okay.
Yeah.
Not this idea that I'm entrenched. I did the best I could, get over it. But hey, look, you know, we're all muddling through here.
Yeah.
and I want to hold your hand here, but you know, it's going to be a little muddled.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Beautiful. What a beautiful longing. What a human longing.
Yeah. It wasn't so much about perfection. Like I thought it was.
It's a remedy for perfection.
Yeah. It was, that's, oh, wow. I feel totally different.
Oh, cool.
Now, when we talk about this feel totally different, I want, for me, it's a visceral experience. I actually feel I can breathe deeper when I've gone now three times during our short period of time here together already, just in three times I've had what I'll call profound shifts, like a lightening, less tension, breathing deeper, and slight little bit of what I call chills. It's you know, like a nervous release. This is so powerful. We have about 9 minutes left. I'm just going to open it up for Sarah's wisdom to come through and share with us more about her affirmations book, because man, you know, I am in the short period of time we've had together, I've already had three profound experiences. So what else would you like to share, Sarah? This is just amazing.
Well, I think what I'd love to share is that the book takes different aspects of our turbulent times and makes guesses about what might be important to people, about what kind of affirmations could be helpful if we're struggling with finances, or what kind of affirmations might be helpful if we're struggling with health? And what do we need to acknowledge in order to be able to recall our own essence to ourselves? What kinds of resonant support do we need in order to claim? It's an interesting thing, especially the question of finances, the question of health. It's like we, our beautiful and beloved human bodies can suffer from all kinds of things, from diseases, from allergies, from autoimmune experiences. And so how do we find our own reserve of strength and health, no matter how much we have chronic fatigue syndrome, or no matter how much we're struggling to get our immune system to be balanced and responsive? How do we move into the very core of our being, which is a kind of a love for self, no matter how the body is responding? Like, it's like we become a fund or a reserve of love for the self. Like, I love my body, no matter what kind of allergic reaction it's having. I am my own healthy being in response to a world that's out of balance that my body is responding to. How do we claim our essential being in the face of these turbulent times, where there's a global pandemic, where people are impacted financially by the pandemic, where there's a global climate crisis? How do we find our central core, in a way, our central core of love that's big enough to provide context for all the grumpiness and the feeling bad and the experiences of fevers or chills and the experience of exhaustion? Like, how do we become big enough inside of ourselves that even if we have to go ahead and have a nap, you know, or a nap for a couple of days, how do we be just so loving and gentle and warm with this body that's trying so hard? So these are the kinds of things that the book takes us into. It takes us into finance and health and global climate change and what it's like to be in our families and what kinds of emotions or longings can be overwhelming. Work, loneliness, creativity, mourning our losses, and of course, living with chaos and uncertainty.
Of course. Do you have one or two that are your favorites that you could share with us?
Today, my favorite is right here. It's about unpredictability. And I'm just going to grab a little bit of a light because I'm old. Maybe glasses as well. And for unpredictability, the wondering is unpredictability hard on you? Do you need to know what's happening so that you can imagine yourself into the future? If you long for predictability, do you need to remember the predictability of your own beating heart? Do you have a need to be able to use the present moment as certainty enough to help you move forward? When you realize that 1 minute from now, you may still be sitting here reading or listening, or that you can at least predict that much of the future, does your body relax, knowing that you can know the next minute? And as you feel into the next hour, can you see a bit of what will happen? And does your body relax with a tiny bit of predictability? You may have some sense that you can see into tomorrow too. And with that, is there a kind of relaxation or reassurance? So that's the wondering. And then the affirmation is, I may not be able to know what the future will bring, but I consent to my resonating self being there waiting for me. I will meet the future and myself there, whatever happens, with my own compassion, understanding, and warmth. I send myself into the future to meet me at the edge of my not knowing. I hold my own hand as we step into the not knowing, and I have faith in my own capacity to bring my strengths and gifts to meet it all, whatever comes.
Wow. I just wanted to sit in that for a moment. That is powerful, Sarah. I love the wonderings and then the affirmation that accompanies it. Okay. I relaxed a little too much into that there. The tongue needs to get back into shape here. Anyway, that was absolutely transformational. Thank you for sharing that. Now, tell us about, is this like one a day that we do, or can we just open it up and
Well, you can do it. You can do one a day, or you can kind of scan through the chapter headings and see what's most important today. Am I most worried about the planet today? Am I most overwhelmed with fear today? Do I have to deal with anger today? So you can kind of look to see which ones would be most helpful. It could be on your bedside table, or it could be tucked in the kitchen where you can grab it while something's frying or boiling or simmering.
Would it be helpful? One thing that I like to do, and some of the words that you used there, I would almost like to put on a post-it note and put it maybe on my computer. So throughout the day after reading it, I would just have cues to remind me to continue to do the deep work.
Yeah.
Is that type of thing helpful?
Very helpful. If you choose from the affirmations, the things that are most resonant for you, then you post them somewhere, then it'll help you tap into remembering your core of being.
Wow. Well, as always, when we get together with Sarah, our time together flies. Sarah, we're down to the last 2 minutes. I do want you to share about where we can find all your books, as well as a little bit about this book. I know it's probably right now, it's pre-order, but it is coming out in December. So
yes,
get on that list.
Yes, December 7th is the day that they start shipping. And you can pre-order it now, or you can order on December 7th. We'd just be so delighted if you did. The websites are sarahpeyton.com, P-E-Y-T-O-N, Sarah with an H. And also the yourresonantself.com for the books. And then there's actually a drop-down menu that lets you order from whoever you'd like to. You can order from Powell's, you can order from Amazon, you can order from Barnes & Noble. It takes you right to the links in the stores.
Fantastic. I'm so excited about the book. And you are giving a free webinar coming up on the 8th.
You and I are doing this wonderful, wonderful.
I know. I'm so excited. It's like a gift from heaven.
So on December 8th, there are two times that you can sign up to be with me and Sharon again. One is at 9 a.m. Pacific time. One is at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And Sharon and I will be together. We'll be going over some of this material again. We'll discover some new things as we always do when we're together. And there's the opportunity to win a copy of the book. And there's also an opportunity to win registration in a class that starts in January. That's an affirmations lab that meets in the mornings twice a week on some weeks, sometimes just once, depending on what else I'm teaching. And it's a way to start your day with beginning to make wonderings for yourself and affirmations for yourself in response to these turbulent times we live in.
Oh, yeah. And tell us just a little bit more of this class. How many weeks is it? And where do we sign up?
Well, you sign up on my website, and it's 7 weeks of 1 or 2 days a week to be able to have a morning start.
Not only a morning start, but you guys will learn how to exquisitely do this yourself. I mean, it's like, you know, having the master chef show us the recipe, and then we're able to take it away and cook up our own amazing affirmations.
Yes, it's like we're getting to touch into our own mission. Like, what's the mission of our core sense of being?
Juicy. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm so excited. And of course, we're out of time. I just love spending time with you, Sarah, and community. Thank you so much for being here, everyone. Check it out. You can go to sarahpayton.com or yourresonantself.com. So everyone, thank you so much. Thank you, Sarah. If it hasn't passed it, because I know this goes evergreen, everybody, but if this hasn't passed, join Sarah and I on December 8th, as well as join me next Friday night for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.